This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, I got a question for you.
Yo, what it do? Boom.
Are you looking for one of the most exhilarating and effective forms of home fitness?
Bro, I think I found it.
Yeah, well, let me introduce you to Fight Camp, an interactive at-home boxing. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers with decades of experience teaching proper boxing form and technique. Fight Camp also has live punch counting stats that motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress. Knock out achievements or go head-to-head against other members from across the country or across the living room. One of the best things about Fight Camp is that it makes boxing accessible to everyone. No matter what your fitness level is, what your age is, or what your experience with boxing is, you can do it. And you're going to have a great time. How do you think you'd rank on the Fight Camp leaderboard? Do you think you'd be in first place? Use the box, right, Conan?
I don't know if I'd be in first place. I'm not in that type of shape, but it's gotten me into great shape. It's getting me into great shape.
Yeah, so join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home. Fight Camp packages start at just $99. They even offer some great financing options and get started for as low as $9 a month. To get everything you need, go to fightcamp.com/Conan to learn more. That's FIGHTCAMP.com/KONAN.
Have you or Joe received yours yet?
I haven't gotten mine yet.
Have you, Joe? Yes, I have, actually, yeah. I have it set up right down here in the basement.
Tell people your experience and I'll tell them mine.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it doesn't take up much space. It's on a stand, so it's not, you don't have to hang anything from your ceiling. And you can go on and use all the different lessons and stuff. Like for me, I never had any boxing training, you know, so I was like, let me do this the right way. So I go on there, I've taken the beginner classes and moved on. It keeps your scores, it keeps your progress, it tracks everything, and you know, the trainers know what they're doing, and it's a lot of fun watching the different clips and competing. You compete against anyone you want. You compete against friends if they're on, people around the world, whatever. There's international leaderboards, and it's a great way to exercise. It's a lot of fun.
Right. The great thing about this thing is you can do it in your house, so you don't have to go to a gym, pay gym memberships, you know, change into gym clothes, park. You know, sometimes you want to get a late workout in and you can't because the gym is closed. You know, or wait for people to put their weights back or whatever. This thing right here conditions you, it tones your arms, your legs, your stomach, everything, and it gives you cardio at the same time. And you can put it in your house and you can work out whenever you want. And the great thing is it has different programs. So if you want to work out for 15 minutes, you only got 15 minutes of workout, you get a 15-minute workout. And if you got an hour, you can get an hour workout in. It's great. I love it, and I'm glad that I purchased it, and it's helping me get into shape. Check out FightCap.com. Boom.
I saw Disco, you got a ton of heat on Twitter this week with your comments towards Fightful's Will Washington, right? There was
Who cares?
What was the comment? I didn't read it.
Will Washington showed. You know who? The thing now? This guy, Will Washington, he's one of the marks. He's from Fightful.
Yeah.
He's one of the marks in the media scrum. One of the Mark fanboys in the media scrums. It's like, it's good to see you. He's like one of these guys, the typical, like Ariel Helwani calls out the fanboys. He's one of the fanboys, right?
Right.
So he had posted, like, I went in a rabbit hole and found out, like, the amount of days the black champions had belts for in WWE. And I'm I tweeted, great work by Fightful. You're looking for racial narratives. Now, I don't follow the guy, but it's weird because, like, you know how now if, like, you follow people that they follow's tweets will just show up on your thing and say followed by so-and-so. Like, so this guy's tweet showed up on my timeline. I didn't look for it, right? And so, of course, you know, people
did you know who
shit.
He was?
Yeah, I knew he was Will Washington, the guy from the media scrum, the punk media. He was the guy that asked the last question in the punk media scrum. Okay,
bro, how could I remember that?
Well, I just remember because I didn't know this. All right, so somebody had like tweeted like, well, he was responding to the WWE had put a tweet out about Bianca Belair. She had the belt for so and so for a black woman's champ, whatever, right? Okay, so I didn't know that, okay? But because this was a standalone tweet that this guy did, and I would have had to go in and look at all the guy's tweets and see what, you know, so, but it was just a standalone tweet, right? So I tweeted back, somebody called me, okay, that's reasonable. I understand, you know, to me, it's nothing, right? But this is the thing that aggravates me. He goes, well, then the guy started getting, like, pissy with me, like, arrogant, like, you know, posted a meme, like, the stupid meme, and I asked, I go, what was your motive, before I knew about this, I go, what was your motivation in doing this,
right?
You know, because let me tell you something. Since this has happened,
yeah, you didn't know he was answering the WWE,
right? Right. Okay. Right. Okay. But my thing is that, dude, I was. This is what I can't stand. Okay. And all this you know, social justice shit and everything, when it creeps this way into wrestling and tries to make a story. Now you may disagree with me on this, right? But I'll never forget. And this is to this day. And to the point that I brought this up to Meltzer when he was on the show, just as a kind of a throwaway comment, say, I want to remind you something that, you know, bro, they've reported for years. It has been reported in the dirt sheets. Like this was an accepted with no justification, no sourcing on this, that the reason they made Booker T the champion in WWE and WCW was because, you know, there was a racial discrimination thing and we needed a black champion. Okay, now I was on the booking committee during this time. That's a complete false story. Okay, completely not true, completely made up. The way Booker T became the champion is we sat there in that room one day and we were just saying, like, because we were, it's just some of those times at booking meetings when you're looking like, who should be our champion? And we all look and agree to raise our hand to who agrees that Booker T should be the champion because he was getting over. So when I hear stories like, because that was us deciding Booker T become the WCW champion because he was talented, he was good on promos, and his in-ring work was second to none at the time, right? He was doing great. And it just bothers me that this narrative escapes, like, well, the only reason he became champion was because they had to hire, you know, they had to make a black wrestler champion because they were faced a racial discrimination lawsuit. I don't know what you think when you hear something like that, but that to me is so disrespectful to Booker T.
So
right?
And I was there when that happened.
Okay.
And that was kind of a rumor. Okay?
It wasn't true. Okay, right.
But here's the thing, right? We've talked about this before. Perception and imagery sometimes are stronger than actual facts. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sometimes when you hear something, you just hear it enough times, you go, well, it must be true. That's the bad thing about a bad rumor. Now, going with Dave, I'm assuming that somebody gave him that information that was very credible. Probably me, nothing. No. But he probably had somebody that gave him that information that was very credible that he believed them, but instead of asking you or Russo or Taylor,
they never interview one person.
Wait, 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 wait. But was Taylor back there back
yeah,
then?
Mm-hmm. Terry was too.
Okay, supposedly Taylor was one of his sources. Okay,
right.
So he probably didn't have any. He probably didn't have any dealings with you, so he wasn't going to call you. He probably didn't have any dealings with Russo, so he didn't call Russo. So he might have called Taylor. Could have been Terry. I'm not saying it was.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been somebody else. And that's right. The thing, because all he has to go on the word of somebody he trusts, who now has decided to lie to him for whatever reason, or was misinformed himself.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
I just don't think that Dave goes out there and purposely or credibly does false information because it hurts his brand. And I know him as a person, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Here's what I think he does, though. I think he has sources, and right. He single sources a lot of his stories. And because he puts so much content out each week, that he doesn't like double and triple check certain
right.
stories. He just right. goes with what he and then you know. So that's because he does both. Because like I said, for as a content
and that's
creator,
a risky move. That's a risky move because
it is a
if
risky
you have somebody with an agenda or somebody that's lying to you for
right.
whatever reason, you're fucked.
Right, exactly. Which is a problem I have with most of the dirt cheat guys. They're single sourcing, they hear a story and they print it because right. it gets clicks and this is how they make their money now. You
right.
know, which is you know, whatever. But I'll say this. So to this day, whenever I see
they all want to be controversial.
Well, let me finish with my thing here with this guy. So my thing is to this day, I just can't stand it when people, the fans, try to bring up the racial narratives in the business.
Right.
Because I think it's disrespectful to the success that the black performers have had that they got it on their merits, not because of their color. So when we're always talking about color, it minimizes the level of talent that these performers have brought to the table. And I just don't like – like in 2022, I'm like, really, we're making this about color? We're talking about how many black champions and how many days they were like, aren't we beyond that? Like, aren't there enough of black performers on TV right now in prominent positions that have held championships? Like what, you know, what are we doing? It's not, I hate colorizing wrestling. You know, I just don't look at it like that. You know, like you look at Bobby Lashley. Oh, here comes a black performer. Oh, Omos, here comes a black. No, it's like these are just characters on the show, and there's no color. You know, there's a
oh, bro. It's
a
hard not to notice they're black. Yeah, he's black.
But I'm
he's
aware
a,
that.
You know, he's white. He's fucking
right.
whatever. You're gonna notice it.
But we don't.
But bro, the way they got treated before and the way they get treated now is way different.
Way different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I say. We're in 2022.
I was there because I was part of that treatment.
Right.
You know, it's gotten right. better. It's still got a ways to go because, like I said, there are no Latino writers. Where are they? There
right.
are no Latino producers. Where are they? There are no Latinos in any power position. There are no African-American writers that I know of. There are no African-Americans in any power of position in wrestling. That's not good.
Who else we got here? Yeah, you know what, though? Like, honestly, though, who you could see MVP doing a job like that.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
get, like these
Booker
guys.
Booker T doing a fucking.
Yeah, but he runs his own thing.
Right.
But Booker runs his own wrestling thing. And
yeah,
he's
but you
still,
could see
you know,
Booker being a writer, being a producer.
Oh, absolutely. Well, he does it, but he
being
does it for
head
his,
of being head he, of creative.
Yeah, he just does that for his own company, though.
That's, yeah, but you know, I'm talking about WWE and AEW, not some fucking indie.
Well, maybe Booker has been offered that spot and probably makes more money running his own show down
right.
there. You know, as the train. You know, so I'm. You know,
maybe
I'd like to ask him that. I'd like
yeah.
to ask him that. Have you ever been offered a spot?
Right
on the right, you know, because he's brilliant. He's a very smart guy. MVP
right.
does it very. There's a lot
right.
of guys that could do that, but they're still kind of like either doing different things or like I would be hard pressed.
He'd be
to
very
find
smart.
Out. I would be hard pressed to find out if they like if Booker T they turned him down to be a producer. Like I would not see that. There's no way I would see that happening. You know, like
right. If they use him as a commentator, they know
right.
how. And commentating's not easy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
He just doesn't want to travel like that anymore, too.
Yeah, well, but I'm, you know,
Conan.
What up?
Welcome to Fresh Ball Fall. It's the season of pumpkin spice and making sure your crotch looks nice. That means sipping cider in a fall breeze and using Manscaped products to trim your balls with ease. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped, a company here to make sure that your foliage isn't the only thing shedding this excess weeds. Heck, even Mother Nature knows it's time to lose the excess clutter for fall. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and use free shipping code K100. So you want to know about Manscaped? Because this is one of our favorite products we've been promoting for a long time. Whether you're brand new or already with us at Manscaped, you use the crown jewel of care for your family jewels, the Platinum Package 4.0, this great product. With this glorious package, you can align your entire hygiene routine all in one swoop. Inside the 10-part Platinum Package is everything you know and love about the Performance Package Plus, some shower goodies included to elevate your grooming game to Platinum level, the Lawnmower 4.0 Body Trimmer, that's my favorite product, and Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate parts and holes. Both are waterproof, so you can keep scaping even as the weather's changing and use in the shower. In addition to shaving, you can now completely upgrade your shower routine with the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo Plus Conditioner. You'll have your skin and hair feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. And don't forget to apply their aluminum-free Ultra Premium Deodorant. And don't worry, it's not pumpkin spice. It's a cologne-quality fragrance that will make it smell good. But we shouldn't save a signature scent for our pits. Use the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner to make sure your go-to smell is top shelf and not sweaty balls. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Platinum Package 4.0. The Manscaped Boxers, which are fantastic. They're like silky smooth. And the Shed Travel Bag. It's an awesome travel bag. You can put in like whenever you travel, put everything in there. Works great. And both are specially made to hold your goodies. Get the Platinum Package this fall. These products are guaranteed to be hits for your dangly bits. I love the rhyme. So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off for free shipping with the code K100. That's 20% off.com with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use code K100. Manscaped, clear out the leaves. It's your tree trunk's time to shine.
You know, we can't put over this product enough. All three of us use it. It's our best-selling product. The thing's incredible. I mean, they market it just for your nether regions, but you can use it for your face, under your arms, on your head, on your chest. Everybody shaves except German women, nothing. So women can use it too. The deodorant is great. The leather back is the, and bro, we're not just trying to hawk this. We use this. This thing is excellent. You know, it's aerodynamic shape. It's got a light on in case you're shaving in the dark. It's waterproof. Their briefs, without a doubt, are the most comfortable I've ever worn, and they come free. They've got a nose clipper, hair clipper. I mean, they bring everything, bro. I mean, if you want to stay groomed, stay clean for your significant other, check out Manscaped. Boom.
Whatever.
From what you, from your text earlier, Conan, send me JBL's number or contact, whatever, and I'll get in touch.
Yeah, I just sent them a message first to make sure that he knew you were going to call him.
Okay.
Bro, he cut a fantastic promo on Monday.
Yeah,
but anyways. Yeah.
Okay, so let's, the next one's from Joseph Turner. Subject is AAA Tag Team Titles. Question for Conan, who in AAA are you positioning for to rival FTR for the tag titles?
Well, if you read or saw anything on Triple Mania, you would know that there was a number one contenders match. Figure out who won that match, and that's who goes up against FTR next. Boom.
Next is from Kyle Barnett, and somebody says, does Tony Khan have more in common with Dixie Carter than WCW? Hey guys, I've been a fan of your show for years and appreciate all the work you guys do. Anyways, my question is for both Disco and Conan. Many compare AEW to WCW, but folks forget WCW is on top of wrestling for almost 2 years, from 96 to 98. Anyways, I don't see AEW being so much like WCW, but instead AEW and Tony Khan especially reminds me of the Dixie Carter more so. Here's a few comparisons I have for that. Tony and Dixie always seem to lean towards XWE guys more than homegrown talent. Both got the chance to get into wrestling from their family's money without any experience in pro wrestling. Both Tony and Dixie are very easily influenced for choices. AEW and TNA both have had a chaotic locker room with a lack of serious unity. Both companies, instead of focusing on themselves, instead try to just bash WWE and try to compete with the giant. Finally, both companies seemingly end up giving away pay-per-view events away on free TV, trying to boost TV numbers up. Since both of you guys have been involved with WCW and TNA Impact, do you think AEW is more in common with WCW when it comes to faults and mismanagement, or is AEW like TNA, and especially is Tony Khan more like Dixie than compared to Bischoff and Russo? I would definitely not agree. They both come from no experience in the business. Tony and Dixie, they are very similar in that aspect. They have no experience.
Tony was a hardcore fan, though, and Dixie
wasn't.
Not,
so what? So that's not experience in the business, Joe.
No, it's not experience.
That's as much experience in that. That's trying to sit there and say the fans that are sitting in the stands have as much experience in the business as performers in the ring. It's like no.
No, but at least
I'm gonna kazoo you for that comment.
Yeah.
Tony has an experience as a fan, is what you said.
Which kazoo that, didn't. Please. I'm just saying that's the difference between the two.
How do you know she didn't watch wrestling?
Just from what I've read and stuff.
I mean, if she watched wrestling, she has as much experience as Tony did. You know? I don't know. You should kazoo him for that, though. Tony has experience as a fan.
Okay, let me just say this to this guy. If you were an owner, you wouldn't push ex-WWE guys as the stars. I mean, sometimes at the detriment at homegrown talent, which takes longer to harvest and cultivate. The other one, he said something about, oh, you know, they got their money from their parents or whatever. Who cares about the origins of the money, if it's self-made, if it's family? How does it make a difference? It doesn't matter how much money you have or where it derived from, especially if you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Okay. The locker room problem is a lack of leadership and not good locker room leaders. And he tried to compare all three of these people. I wouldn't compare him to any of the three because they're three different situations, personalities, and visions. But the least would be Dixie, even though Disco thinks she's very smart. Every time I spoke with her, I left thinking she is clueless. You know, and I had enough conversations to reinforce that.
No, you're missing my point about Dixie. I said, I think Dixie found out very early that she was getting worked and had no problem working people back. Like, she's, that's how they do this.
I don't think she was clueless.
From an honesty perspective.
Right.
Like, I don't think she was, like, she saw people being dishonest with her, so she would be dishonest with other people.
That I could understand, right? I would agree with that.
She probably, like, look at, like, is that how this works? Well, I'll just start
bullshitting
everybody else like they're bullshitting me, right? Yeah, right. So that's how I, that level. Right? But maybe for knowledge-wise, no, she wasn't. But she knew, she realized she was getting work pretty quickly because these guys aren't very subtle about it. You know, that was a problem. Next is from Mark Montanaro, and the subject is NLCS $300 million men. With the much deserved Phillies and Padres making it to NLCS, winning the controversial wildcard round and NLDS series respectively, now set to face off, which big 2019 free agent signing will have the larger impact on the series than the World Series? Harper has a swing back after missing 63 games. In the postseason, he's batting .435 with three homers and six RBIs and 23 at-bats. Manny Machado only missed 12 games this year, having a great regular season. The postseason is batting .296 with two homers and five RBIs and 27 at-bats. Currently, DraftKings has the Padres as a favorite, minus -120. World Series odds currently, the Astros are plus +145, Padres plus +300, and Phillies plus +380. What are your thoughts? Both of them have stepped up. I mean, Harper was hitting. All the Braves starting pitchers were all flat in that series, except for Kyle Wright. So he feasted on some pretty crappy pitching. Manny took Kershaw downtown in that game, which does not happen very often.
But Kershaw has a history of being choking in the playoffs.
Right. I don't know. I think I would bet the Astros to win it all.
Now, he asked about free agent signings. I don't think there could be a bigger free agent signing than Judge, right? Maybe Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fucking shortstops that are going to be, including our own Bogarts from the Red Sox. There's a couple good shortstops out there. But I think the biggest prizes would be Judge and Bauer, right?
Mm-hmm. So next is from Wayne Grohlfine. Subject is Tony Khan versus Wyatt and Meltzer. Recently, Tony Khan was doing an interview and he said that he never had any dealings with or plans to try and sign Bray Wyatt to AEW. Amazingly, the person who's called Tony out on this is Dave Meltzer himself. Meltzer said that Tony and Wyatt had numerous meetings, negotiations, and even agreed on a number, but for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. Why do you guys think that Tony Khan would lie about Bray Wyatt? Why do you think that Meltzer, quite a few times recently, calling Tony Khan out on his lies? P.S. Have you guys ever seen this photo? Bray Wyatt attended an AEW show as a fan, and the IWC story is that he thought the show sucked, and that's why he didn't want to join the company. Do you see this picture? No. I don't think that's him. That's somebody dressed like him. I don't know, but I mean, it's just, you know, pull the picture up, Joe.
There it is right there.
Is that him, Joe, or no?
You think he's going to sit in the stands like as a fan?
Yeah, I don't think that's him.
I don't think that's him either. So next is from I will say this. Dave is getting frustrated with Tony. Now, you've noticed Dave's tone about Tony has changed ever since he's not really getting a lot of information out of what happened in the with the punk stuff.
Right.
You know, and I think he's kind of frustrated at that there's, you know. I don't know. If you talk to Dave, you can find out about that.
Let me say this. I never heard the story about Bray Wyatt. But anyways, well, I think that Meltzer gets caught up in this anti-AEW fanboy narrative. And I'm sure he has friends there. Maybe he goes light on some stuff. But I have seen him bury AEW when he disagrees with them. So his portrayal is not accurate. But it's good fodder for the uninitiated troglodytes who just like to be toxic anything Meltzer or AEW. You know, I think he does take them to task when they do things wrong.
Here's what Dave does. Okay. And this Dave does this, still does this constantly, right? He goes out there and is constantly championing the excuses for why the AEW number is not good in a week.
Right.
Like, you know, because of this show was on and sports was on. He's constantly doing that. Like, this is the reason that the show did a bad rating.
Right.
It's like, well,
so
but it's never
covering
like
for them, right.
Covering for them in that sense, but never really saying, well, Dave, do you think maybe the quality of the show had something to do with it? It's like never, he never really talks about that. He just talks about all the other factors of why the rating isn't good and like all the, every excuse they would make. He's constantly doing that. Right. But, but I don't even know if he liked the show or not. That's the weird part about it. You know, because we could sit there, we review these shows, and we'll say, well, Monday Night Football obviously probably had a thing here and stuff, but sometimes we're like, you know, why is this the main event? You know, you think it like, but the perfect example was when they put Daniel Garcia versus Wheeler Utah the main event on that show, right? Bro, it lost like a considerable amount of viewers. And it's like, well, why would you put, like, if you didn't know that was going to happen, it's like it had nothing to do with what was on TV at the other channels. Those two guys are not main eventers. And people, like, you see the main event, it's like, you're not watching. A lot of people change the channels, you know? So, you know, if you had main eventers in your main event, people would probably stay and watch the show, regardless, you know, of who it was, just as long as they're main eventers. So, I don't know.
Conan.
What up?
I get it. You want to raise your testosterone, but do any of these boosters actually work?
To tell you the truth, Disco, I don't know. I only use Legacy Subs, and let me tell you this. This is empirical shit. I went to get my testosterone levels done before I was using Legacy Subs, and it was very low, and then afterwards it did increase, so it does work.
Yeah, TestX9 works. And don't just take Legacy Subs' word for it. They show you how with links to independent studies on every single one of the 9 key ingredients. No bull, no bro science, just facts. TestX9 is an NSF-certified third-party lab tested made in the USA. Level up your strength, energy, libido, and drive now with TestX9 from Legacy Sports Nutrition. If you want to really level up, go for the ultimate test deck, adding T-Assist, a pro-grade estrogen inhibitor and test enhancer, and the best-selling sleep aid, Recovery PM, the show's favorite, and see why improving your sleep is the key to unlocking your mental and physical potential. Guys, did you know that the majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep? That's why we put this stuff together and why it really works. Stop setting for average, go to LegacySubs.com and use the code K100 for 10% off your entire order, and if you subscribe to have it shipped every 30 days, you can still get the discount every single time. It's brought to you by 3-time world champion Nick Aldis and 10-time world champion Mickey James, who developed and used these products themselves. LegacySubs.com. Level up with Legacy, and the code is K100.
And let me tell you, we've been doing business with Nick for a while now. This is one of our most requested items. People always buy all his supplements because they work, or if not, he would have left our show a long time ago. We use them and they work, and it's not just this testosterone. They've got stuff for your memory, for your energy, for sleeping. Go check them out at Legacy Subs. Boom.
Next is from Narsk Rigigig, and the subject is Hawk versus Macho Man. Conan and Disco, also Joe and Case, and he can fill in the backstory. I was reading this article about backstage feuds in wrestling. One that really interested me was that Hawk and the Macho Man had some type of nuclear backstage heat that involved numerous backstage physical confrontations. Apparently, they got into a fight when they crossed paths at some concert. I knew the guys weren't there with them in WWE, but during their time in WCW, what do you guys happen to witness any problems between Macho and Hawk? Also, do any of you know the reason behind them having a feud was even about? I never saw anything between the two, and I have no knowledge of any of this. Joe, do you have any knowledge of any of this?
Yeah, they were backstage at a New Japan show in 96, and Hawk got the idea in his head that Randy made a pass at his wife. So they went face-to-face before Randy was about to go out for the main event, and Hawk punched him. You know, some people say he snuck him, whatever. And they were broken up. And then they actually ran into each other at a Kid Rock concert. Mm-hmm. And Randy jumped him, and then his wife got involved, and so did Gorgeous George and her sister, and it was a whole melee. And Hawk sued Savage because his wife had some kind of hearing damage, he said, but the lawsuit got thrown out.
How did I never hear any of this? It's kind of weird.
One fight happened in 96, the other was like 2001 or something like that, but it wasn't backstage. Yeah, it wasn't backstage at WCW. So.
Next is from Chad Too Bad, and the subject is Talk That Talk. Conan, you're a legend. I'm a huge fan of you, not just the wrestler, but the man. Joe Feeney, your hot-headed, sexy-ass, all-American, liquored-up mother, you know what? That entrepreneurial spirit and bad boy attitude don't take no shit attitude make me feel a sort of way. You come to Cali, you got a place to stay. And to the prophet of pro wrestling, the thick-skinned master debater, the power-talking, rhythm-walking, looking good, no ifs, ands, or maybes, just Kazumi now because I love me some Disco Inferno, baby. Me and my high younger male model boyfriend were watching YouTube and saw Chael Sonnen. Oh my God, I was watching thinking he would have been the biggest star in WWE so quick on his feet. I know it would behoove, no better word in the mailbag this week, to be quick on your feet for promos. Any wrestler you can think of besides Jim Cornette quick on their feet like Chael? Was there a wrestler that others were scared of on the mic because they knew the shit was on? Someone that could just eat other wrestlers up with their quick wit and verbal skills? Disco, me and my young hotter male model boyfriend are coming to Sapphire soon. When we do a pilgrimage to the Green Door. P.S. That's Chad with two D's. All right, this guy's all over the place grammatically. This is a grammatic. Let's suspend this guy from the mailbag for horrible grammar on this mailbag.
What's the Green Door?
Who was quick on their feet verbally? Well, backstage, Dean Malenko was. You know, Bobby Heenan was. Gene Okerlund was. Gene Okerlund was so quick witty. He was the best in interview, the best backstage interview in the history of professional wrestling. But wrestlers, a guy that you wouldn't want to get in a verbal confrontation with is Scott Steiner, because he would just say things that he probably wasn't supposed to say, but he would do it anyway because he just bullied everybody. Would you agree?
Well, I can't think of anybody that I was ever intimidated of or afraid to go one on one. Me and Corny had some good showdowns, one in ROH, another one in Impact. He would bring out the best in me, and I'm sure I did in him, because I think we both knew that if we had to be on our toes, or the other one would eat the other one up. So I relished those opportunities. But I've been on the mic with all of them, Steiner, Nash, Hall, Corny, Kingston, LA Knight, Bubba, anybody you can think of, and I always held my own.
So next is from... Ryan Damone, subject is AEW Wrestling versus Entertainment Angle. Hey guys, Russo gets a lot of negativity, especially for the AEW fans and Tony Khan. Has anyone else noticed that the Khan's newest angle between the wrestlers versus the entertainers is an exact ripoff of Russo's Sports Entertainment Extreme versus TNA? Has Khan already ran out of stealing his favorite childhood angles and now has to borrow from Russo TNA ideas? That's not anything remotely close to the angle that we did with Sports Entertainment Extreme versus TNA. Right. Because the whole thing about Sports Entertainment Extreme, we had like, you know, girls scantily clad, you know, like we cussed, we do like, you know, just, you know, it's not a ripoff of that at all. Because there's no, like, the sports entertainers are not like it's not like the coolest faction, kind of, like the way they present themselves, you know? I don't know. I mean, I don't see the comparison, to be honest with you. Next is from Philly's Bob, and the subject is Braves choke. Glenn, you're a good man. I respect your opinions. With that said, what the hell happened to your Braves? Me and Cody had talked about it at the beginning of the show, or we have a clip that we're going to discuss baseball going forward. And my reason why I think that a lot of these teams came out flat was the 5 days off, and I'm not a fan of that format going forward. Next is from Tad J, and the subject is Conan and ECW. Hey, K100, came across a clip of a pull-apart between the Sandman and Conan and ECW. Steve Austin was also part of the segment. What was it like working in ECW at that time, Conan? Did you get a chance to work with Steve Austin very much? P.S. Get My Go is worse than Kevin Gill's voice. Wait, they both are brutal. And thanks, that's Tad from H-Town.
ECW, well, I was going to do a – right before I left, I was going to do a program – it was either with Austin or with Cactus Jack, but I loved ECW because, you know, when we went there, you know, Paul Lee was, first of all, you knew you had a genius in front of you, and I respected Paul Lee so much, and I loved going there and just talking with him and learning from him, because at that time I was booking in AAA, so a lot of stuff that I was seeing in ECW, I was booking it in AAA. So very, very influenced by Paulie. And then I just loved, you know, the locker room had this, you know, he was like a coach and he brought everybody together, and the locker room was like us against them, and the fans were really wild, and it was just a whole different vibe that you didn't get anywhere else. You know, it was a very special time. I loved my time while I was in ECW, you know.
Yeah, next one's from Tommy Herman. The subject is World Cup in Qatar. What's up, Joe and Co? What's your opinion on the upcoming Soccer World Cup being played in Qatar? It's an open secret that Qatar has bribed their way into hosting it. They've racist, homophobic laws and a list of human rights violations longer than Disco's nose. However, there are those who say that by playing the World Cup there, having the world's attention on it, can lead to a positive change in the country. What do you say? Should a country's human rights score play a factor in rewarding it with sporting events? Well, first of all, a lot of these teams, like the England team, is that they're all concerned with what armbands they're going to have, like, because they're going to, like, you know, because they are like it's Sharia law over there, you know. They're not down with gay people. You know, women aren't treated very right. It's like, you know, this is just different. It's a different part of the world.
Dude, I went to Qatar. Qatar is, first of all, Qatar is very, very modern. It's very beautiful. And here's the other thing. I'm just a big proponent of not sticking political issues with sporting events.
Right.
Because the United States has a lot of human rights violations, right, too, against African Americans.
It's like, who are we to judge?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's pretty ballsy to try to, the virtue signaling at Qatar.
Right. Right. Exactly.
We got our own shit fucking in order. So yeah, I think that's bullshit. I understand political messaging and sporting events, but bro, you should not intertwine both.
Yeah. If you're going here is what, if you are so,
I mean,
worried,
is there anywhere we can get away from fucking politics? Is it going to be,
I don't know,
next?
But I would say this, if you're really if you want to really protest, don't go.
Right.
But they're all going.
Right.
You know, it's just like, oh, they're so worried about the human rights violations, but they're going to go, but we're going to wear armbands to show that we don't. Well, bro, don't go. That's the ultimate form of protest. Right. You know, so this half-hearted virtue signaling protest shit, you know, wearing an armband or wearing a, you know, whatever. So, it aggravates a lot of sports fans, you know, because we see that enough in politics already. We see the virtue, we watch the news for that shit, but now we got to watch sports for that shit. Come on. Next is from Ben, and the subject is Al Snow blacklisted. I think we could all agree that Al Snow is widely accepted as one of the most knowledgeable, well-respected trainers in wrestling, and OVW historically has produced some of the biggest stars in the last two decades. Why then have we heard nothing about nor seen any talent produced from OVW since Al Snow took over? Is there some sort of blacklist I missed? Well, it's my understanding that all the talent now is being sent straight to the Performance Center in Orlando. Correct? I mean, am I right about that?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. All right.
I just always read in different books and stuff that Hunter just isn't an Al Snow fan in any capacity. So
really? It's interesting. Yeah. Next is some Tourist Wobbled, and the subject is Ricochet's future. I thought that Ricochet's performance in the 4-way IC contender match at SmackDown last night was just 5-star excellent. Oh, by the way, it was. It was a really good match. For me, he's never been better. I have to ask you guys, though, what do you think of his future in WWE? Think that a Ricochet versus Roman Reigns match would absolutely tear the house down, but I don't think the chances of a headline at pay-per-view are likely. What do you guys think is the future for Ricochet? Plus, what would you like to see him do? If they had an X Division title, like in WWE, an X Division type title, not just like they call it 205, like the Cruiser. What do they call it, like the 205 live show?
Yeah.
Well, that's like,
main,
you know, just
event or something.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, bro, Ricochet's problem is just he's undersized. And a company that values bigger guys, and he's not that great on the mic, you know. He's very, and I don't know if I could ever see him, like, he like never gets mad, like his whole demeanor is always like, it's like never anger. I'd like to see him do an angle where he has to get angry and see that range from him, you know. But I don't know. What do you think, Conan?
I don't know, bro. I think he's been hurt more by stop and start pushes. They push him, then they bury him, then they push him. And bro, that after a while, that takes a toll and people don't see you seriously. I think he's not utilized correctly. This guy is as talented, acrobatic a performer as I've ever seen in the ring. And they don't let him do everything he can do. And I know for sure that at the beginning, because when I worked with him in Lucha Underground, and I like Trevor to death, but he had some maturity issues, as most young people do. And I thought, wait till he gets to WWE. They're going to correct that in a quick jiffy and in a hurry. And I'm sure that after being there for, what, how long has he been there? 4 years, Joe?
Something like that. Yeah,
something like that.
You know, he's probably learned the game, and he knows he can't fucking, you know, be acting up. So he's probably learned how to be more of a professional, and he's turned into a better worker. His punches look great, which they look like shit. His promos need a lot of help. Yeah, I've never seen him angry either. But he's a phenomenal, sensational talent that I think is being underutilized.
Next is from Jay Daniels. And the subject is Jay from Norman, Oklahoma, Wyatt 6. I wrote in a question earlier this week, so I don't know if I'm double-dipping in the same mailbag or not, but everyone is speculating on who could be in the Wyatt Six faction. But after watching SmackDown, I'm thinking there's a possibility of Wyatt having six different personalities and him trying to overcome them all. And the Man in the Mask could be the one personally that controls him, or even could be his brother, Bo Dallas, since rumor has it WWE is bringing him back. What are your thoughts on Wyatt battling six different personalities versus leading another cult like Stable? I like him doing the split personalities, to be honest with you. He's like this version of Mankind. Mankind had three different personalities. Yeah, dude loved Mankind and Mick Foley. You know?
Didn't this guy say six?
Six, yeah. Like, I don't know. We'll see. I'd rather not know where they're going with this. I want to see where they're going with this. You know? But like, yeah, trying to spoil these.
He did an interview
like,
on SmackDown that sounded great.
Yeah, but he referenced Bray.
Yeah.
And this, so like another person, you know, that was weird, you know. So I was like, you know, I don't know. So next is from David Barnett. Subject is miscast wrestlers. Greetings and salutations, K100 crew. I was watching SmackDown this week and it came to a realization. Raquel Rodriguez is the worst character to ever appear on WWE programming. Now, just to be clear, I'm not knocking her as a performer, neither as an in-ring competitor or as an actress. In fact, her character work in NXT as a heel was outstanding. My gripe with her is based purely on her current gimmick and her booking, which is entirely the fault of the creative team. Seriously, her entire character can be summed up in one sentence. I have a big smile, and my back is also very big. Watching her lower to this got me thinking about the 1990s occupation era, where guys like Glenn Jacobs, Kane, were forced to portray a dentist, Barry Darso, who played a repo man, and most obviously K-Dog's infamous Max Moon gimmick. However, I believe Raquel Rodriguez put them all to shame in regards to miscasting. I suppose I have two questions. First, what do you think of Raquel's current character, and what should they be doing with her? And second, I had what I think is a brilliant idea for a gimmick for a new WWE superstar. And I was hoping you could validate my genius by providing me with some glowing feedback. Okay, so here's my idea. A wrestler named Moyle. If you're unaware, a Moyle is the dude who performs the circumcision at the traditional Jewish ritual known as a bris. This wrestling Moyle could come to the ring to Hava Nagila, and his finished move would be a body scissors. Thoughts? Shalom and Lachaim, WWE's next writer, David Barnett.
That's a stupid idea.
Terrible. Is he right about Raquel Rodriguez, though?
Yes. That's all she is, a smile, and I got big lats. I
mean, yeah, that's true. Right. Next is from Curtis Padmore. This is somebody's question about Imperium. Greetings. I'm a wrestling fan of 30 years, all the way from the tiny island of Barbados in the Caribbean. I recently started listening to your show, which I enjoy listening to and have subscribed to it. I have a question for you regarding the WWE faction Imperium and a former WWE wrestler that both Conan and Disco should remember. Do you think it would be a good idea for WWE to bring in Alex Wright as a manager to join Imperium? From what I can tell, Alex can add more solid mic work with an authentic German accent to help get Imperium over. He was a good worker back at WCW, according to Arn Anderson. Perhaps Alex could still take a bump or two. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this suggestion. That's not a bad idea, you know?
No, it isn't.
Because I think it'd be funny to listen to Alex speaking German out there.
No,
you know?
It's not a bad idea. They don't need him, but it's not a bad idea.
Right.
And he would add to it. And I'd like to say thanks to the guy in Barbados, beautiful place I've been to before. Thanks for listening to the show.
Next is some Brandon Triano, and the subject is special roll-ups and pins as finishers. Hey, fellas, it's the mayor. As a trusted elected official, I must ask, how do you guys feel about finishes like Darby Allin's Last Supper or Papa Wheelie Utah's Seatbelt? I kind of find them to be lame due to me being conditioned to seeing big impact moves putting the exclamation point in a match or a painful submission. Do you feel these funky pins are creative or resonate enough to establish credibility with the audience going forward? Thanks and much respect to you all. P.S. On the word on the street is Joe reenacts the Kurt Angle versus Tough Enough contestant segment in the parking lot after Philly wrestling shows. Is that true for Joe?
Here and there. Depends. Yeah. I don't think they're resonating at all because I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember either one of these moves or pinning sequences or whatever. So. But
yeah, I have no idea what this
is. Maybe I'm in the minority.
I mean, but, you know.
I do think it's helpful and good for every wrestler to have a big impact move for a pinfall and then also have a submission move. Just gives you more options.
Sip, do you have any questions and comment on that, Conan?
I have no clue what these fucking moves are. I can't.
Right. This is a marquee question. So.
Yeah.
Next is from Maze the Great 757.
This is like that guy that at the scrum was like, how's your foot? Remember? Yeah.
That was Dave, actually.
Well, yeah. Dave, how's your foot?
Come on, could you tell us how the rehab with your foot went? Subject is modern-day Nash. Hey, K100 crew. It's fair to say that Roman Reigns was, up until last year, the modern-day version of Kevin Nash Diesel? Because some similarities there. Tall with long black hair. Came to TV as silent but deadly muscle type. won the tag titles, went solo and was pushed too hard against fans' will, became Vince's chosen one after his golden gooses Hogan and Cena left, and finally turning heel and the fans embracing him. What do you guys think? No, he's not a modern-day Nash.
No, I see I don't see no parallels there.
Next is from Kevin Ottoman. What is this here? Question for the next Keepin' 100. Hi, my name is Kevin from San Diego, the real home of the Chargers. I'm a Patreon subscriber and longtime fan of the show. I have one question.
You?
Number one, what are your thoughts on Jason Powell's thoughts on why AEW is struggling? I'll attach the audio clips from his call-in radio show this past Monday where he goes into where AEW is going wrong. He also mentioned his paywall podcast AEW has banned him from media scrums because he asked fair questions, and AEW only wants people to suck up to them.
Wow.
Wow, that's interesting. Jason Powell is excommunicated. And the funny thing about this is Billy Body thought that he could get a scrum pass. All right, and they're kicking out. They don't even allow Jason Powell in there. You guys should bring Jason on as a guest or a correspondent. He's really good at fantasy football. We've had him on, bro.
Yeah.
When asking fantasy football tips in the ProWrestling.net members Q&A, he always has good sleeper picks, and I'm doing great so far this season. He also seems to be well-informed and have accurate scoops, which he doesn't publish widely past the member area. Love you, Conan. Love you, Disco. Joe, keep up the good work.
Well, you know what? I think it's time for Jason to come back on. Hit him up for November, Joe. And plus, he's a humongous Viking fan, so he must be happy now because they're like 5-1.
Would you like to? He sent three clips, actually. Would you like to give one a listen?
No. Next is some, we'll talk to him, but I don't want to listen to clips and stuff.
Save those for when he comes on, Joe.
Right. You got it.
Remind us, please, because I'll forget.
I got next it. I'm sending it to my other email address. So
right. Next is from Gulad Ahmed, and the subject is Jeffrey Dahmer in a fight. What's up, gentlemen? Just finished a Dahmer miniseries on Netflix that got me thinking. Who were in a fight, Dahmer or Richard Ramirez? And what were their finishes be? Thanks.
Jesus.
Hang side, P.S. Jamie Hayter's a baddie, bro. Next is from G. Monley, and the subject is Cowboy Nation. What's good, K100 crew? Just started listening to the show almost a year ago and enjoyed the diversity of topics and the wrestling reviews. I'm a huge wrestling fan, but I also know you guys talk football, so I have a question for you. I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, I've been that since I discovered football. Anyway, Cooper Rush has pretty much saved our season since the injury to Dak Prescott. With the undefeated Eagles on the horizon, if Dak is healthy, would you start him and ride the hot hand of Cooper Rush? If you happen to get to this question after the game, what would you do if Cooper Rush starts and wins? My opinion, like Cooper could play this game and let Dak start against Detroit. Thanks for the time. Well, that's what's happening. They're playing – Dax is starting against Detroit this week. So you asked a question that was answered by itself. So
does he have heat with you guys for being from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and being a Cowboys fan?
No, I don't care. No. Next is from Pinga Dolce. Subject is conservatives. The question is for Disco. Since we both lean right, are there any Republicans that you do not like? For example, I cannot stand Ted Cruz. He embodies what people see in a politician. His cuck behavior when Trump called his wife ugly rubbed me the wrong way, and his vacation in Cancun was stupid. Hopefully our party can be dumped the MAGA bullshit and elect DeSantis, who is a true conservative. The embracing of MAGA has really hurt our party as more and more moderates tend to side with the left due to MAGA's extreme views. There's a lot of guys that I don't really like a lot of politicians. I don't really like a lot, most of them, but there are a couple that I like. I like this guy Thomas Massie from Kentucky. I like Josh Hawley from Missouri, and I like DeSantis because I like Massie and Hawley because they're very good. Like I watched some YouTube clips; they're very good in these committees, like asking questions. They're very they're very good at it, and they're very I don't know. I don't even follow Josh Hawley on Twitter or anything, but I just see some of his clips, and he's a sharp. Like those two guys are sharp as a whip. You know, and I like it when these people get to question people in the committees and stuff, and they ask good questions, and they kind of get to a point. So, and I like DeSantis. I'm done with all these old politicians.
Yeah, like McConnell.
Like McConnell and Nancy Pelosi and Schumer, just these 70 something years. It's like I'm had it with these people. You know, it's like come on.
You know, I'm not sure what her move is. But Tulsi Gabbard, who I like, even while she was a Democrat, left the Democratic Party like last week. So
she's all right though. But she just likes being on TV though. There's not a TV show that she won't be on. You know?
Did you watch her recently on Rogan?
I've seen her on Rogan before. I saw a couple of clips. She said she's been saying the same thing for years. There's nothing new in what she's saying. Yeah, you know? But she's just saying that she's not a Democrat anymore. But, well, you didn't sound like a Democrat for 4 years. You know, so yeah, what are you really? Yeah. Aaron Campos, subject is World Cup. Hi, It's Aaron from Mexico. My question is, what country is your favorite to win the Soccer World Cup? Mine is Argentina, and I hope Mexico fix their internal mess so they can at least go to the playoffs. Argentina is still vying for the record unbeaten streak, so they got to be one of the favorites here. I watched the United States play against Saudi Arabia last week. They stink. I mean, there was no threat of offense or anything, and it was, and, you know, they're going to suck. Italy's not in it. So they didn't even make it. I don't even know who I'm going to be cheering for. I mean, I'm going to cheer for the U.S., but they stink. So what about you, Conan?
I don't know. I do think America has a good team. That wasn't the best team they put on the field against Saudi Arabia. That's for damn sure.
Did you watch some of that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did nothing.
I watched every single game. I like the U.S. men's team. They got a lot of talent. They just got to put it together.
Right.
And I don't think Pulisic was there that day either.
Right.
I'm going with Brazil, bro. I think that's the strongest team in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that. Next is from some guy in the Chonko, and the subject is Riddle versus Diaz super fight. Hey, K100 crew. How you guys all doing? It's been recently speculated that Nate Diaz might be headed to WWE after he met up with Triple H, Steph, and Nick Khan after his fight with Tony Ferguson. We recently saw the involvement of Daniel Cormier. Logan Paul is there, and Bad Bunny had a stint. Do you see money in Matt Riddle versus Nate Diaz? They both did the Ultimate Fighter, they both fought at welterweight, and they both have a stoner gimmick, and Riddle just fought in the fight pit. Nate might not be able to work there, so is there something else they could do that would help give Riddle a rub? I don't know. I mean, bro, the thing is with the WWE, I don't know if Nate Diaz loves wrestling, but every celebrity they bring in, like, loves wrestling. You know, and so I think that getting a guy that doesn't like wrestling and trying to get him, hey, we need you in WWE, like, usually those don't work out. But, you know, Bad Bunny loves wrestling. Logan Paul loves wrestling. You know,
McAfee, Rowdy.
McAfee loves, right. It's like, they love wrestling. I don't know about Nate Diaz, though. Right. I mean, if he does, I'd be interested in seeing that. Because the people that love wrestling kind of have a better grasp of how to do it than people that don't, you know? So
I don't think they've done a good job with Logan Paul. I'm not interested in that match.
Yeah, I am. Next is from...
Henry Cejudo. Mentioned in an interview that Nate has said he wants to dabble in WWE to make some money. So maybe he's considering it.
Maybe.
Yeah, but Disco's point is, if you're not a fan, why get into it? Because it is very hard.
Right.
Next is some Ryan Bendick. Subject is no top Mexican wrestler. Hey, guys. Why do y'all think there's no Mexican wrestler being pushed as top stars? The knock on them used to be they were very small, wearing a mask, you can't see emotions on their face. But now everybody's a smaller body size and try to copy the Mexican style. Andrade, Roosh both have the size and are really good. Rey is old but still can really go. Lucha Brothers are really both really good. It just seems like a tag belt or secondary belt is as far as they can go. Well, first of all, Rey Mysterio is being pushed as a top star. So I don't know where this comment comes. There's no Mexican wrestlers being pushed as top stars. So you got any comment on this, Conan?
Yeah, I don't make those decisions, so I don't know. But, you know, Andrade, I think, you know, he's had backstage issues that's hurt him. Rush just got there. You know, Rey's in a top storyline and is a legend. The Lucha Brothers should be used better than they are. But I don't make those decisions, and I don't know what goes into their thinking.
Next is from Axel Johnson, and the subject is WWE opening the Forbidden Door. Hello, K100 crew. I hope all is going well. With Triple H in charge acknowledging other promotions, do you guys think you'd be more open to do talent exchanges with New Japan, Triple H, or other promotions? No. Not unless it can benefit WWE, and I think the WWE would benefit those companies more than they would benefit the WWE. Because, bro, anything outside the WWE is smart mark stuff. You know, the WWE draws 2 million fans a week on two different nights. So it's like, you know, what do you, you know, the next closest one is AEW, which just does 1 million less fans. And, like, I think New Japan draws 300,000 on TV here. So it's like you would be helping them out. But it's like, unless you get, like, maybe, like, the top guy from, like, New Japan or the top guy from AAA and bring him in for a match could do something. But, like, you know, but the Forbidden Door hasn't really worked in AEW, not numbers-wise. You know, you're just providing – you're just bringing in more and more wrestlers. Like, deal with the crew that you have already instead of trying to open the Forbidden Door and wrestle with these other companies and stuff. Bro, you only have two hours on Wednesday night and 1 hour on Friday, and you're having trouble filling that with good quality content. And you still got a bunch of guys sitting on the bench. So it's like, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
One thing related to the Forbidden Door or whatever is that WWE brought Carl Anderson back, and he's currently the New Japan like open weight.
Yeah, bro, that's not open. That's not the forbidden door. The guy was a WWE guy, and he went back, and now he's going back to WWE.
Well, the only reason I'm saying is because they made it seem like, oh, it'll be cool, and Carl's going to be able to go defend his title and stuff. But they actually scheduled him to wrestle in Saudi Arabia. It's the same date as his next title defense. So obviously they're going to
expect.
Yeah, they're going to do whatever to take. They know they're going to make themselves take Preston, of course.
Right. Next is from Steven and Contrera, and the subject is approaching Conan in whatever this means. Approaching Conan in. What's good, K100? For years, I've been told how to greet the superior one in public, at the sports book, at the Korean barbecue, even Different Strokes. But how do we conduct ourselves if we run into the wrestling legend Conan in the wild? Are compliments allowed? Is eye contact forbidden? I must know, longtime fan, that's Marvin Gardens, a.k.a. Hunks Not Dead on Twitter.
With me, it's very easy. Two joints, one that we can share and one for me to take on the road, and meal money. That's probably a bit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's very easy, huh? Easy protocol. Yeah. All right. All right. That's been the mailbag.